Yeah, it's, I mean, this Russia-Ukraine thing, when that happened in 2022, I just had this strong feeling that now Russia went into a trap. That everything that was done, of course, by the US, that led to the Russians launching their special military operation, as they call it, going into Ukraine. That this was the purpose. Because as soon as they did that, very quickly, and massively, there was well-tailored propaganda being flooding social media, complete, you know, with the Hitler image of, you know, Putin and all of it, just standard evil enemy that we should all fight. And my reaction then was, hey, maybe that's what they want to do. They want to turn the entire world against Russia. Of course. That may be the best way to crush Russia. Smart, isn't it? You don't have to do it yourself, but you use media to turn everyone against your enemy so they crush him for you. Now that's what happened. Countries all over Europe especially sending money, weapons, as much as they can. And putting your, again, the usual method there, your puppet regime in charge of Ukraine. And directing them, him. To fight to the last Ukrainian. Even saying openly, there are quotes from leaders in the US saying it openly, that yes, it's a very good idea. We don't need to sacrifice the lives of our American soldiers. Others will do that for us. It's much smarter. You know, and that's where we see that psychopath. You can smell it, right? When this kind of reasoning starts to appear. And when it is even outspoken and not even hidden. Very nice. We kill a million or so of Ukrainians. By the way, which of course they didn't expect. Because this powerful operation of turning the entire world against the evil Putin, and with sanctions and everything. That's modern, hybrid, advanced warfare. And yes, I guess you can finish off a country like that, your enemy like that. But the thing is that this time, it failed miserably. And I keep hearing from experts that, you know, looking at history, Napoleon, Hitler, you know, and Sweden too. I mean, the Swedish king died over there. You don't defeat Russia. They are powerful. It's a big, strong country. But not only that, because of course if the whole world goes joins together, they could defeat any country. But what happened? It's the opposite. And I would say this is a remarkable thing that we will read about in the history books of the future. That human civilization on this planet have, I mean, as it seems to not only me, but, you know, to everyone who can see, that has reached a point where those who have been and still are exploited by some form of colonialism, and we know who are the ones, the masters of colonialism and imperialism, and they are not in the East, they are in the West, what is now called Global North, and the people of the Global South are now, have now started to cooperate. To free themselves from that unipolar system and replace it with a multipolar system. And that is the big historic event that is taking place right now. While, which is also amazingly surrealistic, and will be there in the history books of the future. The people of the entire Western world are all practically not aware of that, that this is going on. That half of the world, half of the population of the world, their countries, just said, sorry, but we're not going to be ruled by you anymore. We're not going to help each other cooperate to build our own wealth. And if you don't want to do business with us, then we will be satisfied doing business with each other. Because, you know, here we have practically all the electronics and lots of technology and natural resources. We're doing fine, thank you. And as of now, Russian, you know, Mr. Putin is the chairman of that BRICS. But not the unipolar leader. Next year someone else will be the chairman. You know, the way it normally works between companies and organizations. And the way it should normally work between countries. So, but of course, here, I'm sitting in Sweden, we get a completely different picture on our screens of a Russia isolated, lonely, under financial strain and ready to fall to pieces at any day if we just send some more weapons and money to their enemy, then that enemy will finish them off finally. And that's the critical situation here now. Because if the US and Europe, the countries that are still in on this NATO game, if they would be powerful financially and militarily, of course they could get together and make a world war. And, you know, if the global South, we're talking South America, we're talking Africa, we're talking Middle East, we're talking Asia, except Japan and some others, if they would have done this 50 years ago, they would have been militarily or in whatever way devastated, because they were weaker then. But now they have also more cooperation between each other, and they are strong financially, militarily, very, very strong. And probably the global South, as called, we're talking Russia, China, India, Middle East, Iran, are together far stronger than the global North. I mean, just consider with the, whatever little view I have on Europe and the US, one thing we know, don't we, that we moved our production over to those cheap countries over there in the global south, right? You can get them dirt cheap. And then we here, we are the middlemen, we deal with the money, we make money by selling and buying and selling and buying. Inventing things and then producing them over there in the East and the global South. This means that the industry in Europe and the US is much weaker now than it was when I was young. And the industry in the global south, and I'm talking specifically about China, but also India and Russia, and other countries, is very strong because that's where the factories are. That's where the natural resources are. The energy, the metals, the minerals, especially for this fantastic technology of electronics, of computer technology. And I heard from normally reliable sources that in the city of Shenzhen, there in South China, over 90% of all electronics of the world is being produced. But then, those in leadership positions in Europe, you know, in global North, Europe and America, North America, and those, they can see that now they are becoming big and rich and successful. So they make economic war against them. We have to finish off, weaken our competitors. We have to keep them dependent on us. But they are not dependent on you anymore. They take care of themselves. When you make your sanctions and all of that, they are smart and they can see through you, your tricks. So all that happens is that you stand there alone. You have to raise your tariffs and all of that for Chinese products and other competitors in the global south. But all you're doing then is to make it more expensive for your own people. Which increases inflation and debt and all of that. So look. Tariffs and all that. Closing off import from competitors. are supposed to be a kick in the rear end of your own businesses, your own factories, to start producing what your people need to live, to get what they need to live a decent life. So you better start that now. Take care of your own country. Because you know, I would say either just walking here at night trying to analyze a bit. Either these countries here, Europe and the US and Global North, well, continue this way, seeing the others, the Global South, as their biggest enemy now, and try to fight that enemy, whether by sanctions or military means or whatever, media campaigns. Telling everyone how bad they are over there, and evil and horrible. Thinking that they can win in that way. I would say if they go on like that, I mean, we have all seen that thing, right? When someone is losing control, you know, the big guy there in school who goes pushing around others, who should serve him. When he loses power, someone else is stronger. Comes there. What do? Well, you can't attack him, that other stronger guy. So you stand there and scream and shout, you're bad, you're evil. Look, everyone, how bad he is. Now let's all help out each other together and defeat him. So you see, that big strong guy is actually a coward. He can only project his power as long as he has weak people around who he can make dependent on him and fool to believe that he's their leader. You know, the mafia leader style. You don't do what I say, I send my guys after you. But then, you know, what happens is that when the other guy is stronger, words don't solve much. Yeah, you should fight that guy. That evil, terrible guy. And put me back into... Follow me instead. But people follow the strongest and the richest and the most successful. And especially if that ex-leader didn't do a good job, was an exploiter, they will be happy to leave. Oh, here is our new, our real leader. All we can hope is that that's a good one. But there are these, you know, if this bricks works out and is what it seems to be, a new Westphalia, where countries get together and have become smart enough. I mean, we should be that now, we humans, because we have access to knowledge. Even here online, I can learn about the whole world history and politics and this and that. Mistakes and successes of humans. We have a university, we have knowledge available for all of us. So we should be able today to establish a situation where countries on this planet cooperate. At least leave each other in peace. And that's what it seems that happens there in the global south. In other words, it's not another strong guy who stands there aspiring for the emperor role. It's a teamwork of countries who, if they succeed, will establish a modern form, a version of the Westphalian peace. Where the nations of the world are not ruled by the Holy Roman Empire, but are sovereign and regulate their coexistence by international laws that they work out together. And yes, we humans, if we are even have the right to call ourselves humans, should learn, be able to learn that, shouldn't we? Which they learned in the 17th century. Well, so yes, that intelligence, that wisdom is there, but also the opposite is there, the madness, the foolishness, the illusions. The greed and hate, and all of that, and the lust for position and money and power. Positions, yes. I'm a leader. We are the leaders of the world. I'm rich. You know, there is this quote in the Bhagavad Gita about the Asura. He's my enemy. I will kill him. So let's see. was over all of it, larks. A dark cloud of nuclear. Armageddon. You know, I would say we humans today, as the end of 2024, we stand at a crossroad. Either we start to get wise for real, work for peace, sit down and talk, even with enemies, relearn diplomacy again, see, learn to see through propaganda illusions and manipulations and exploitation, all of those things. And behave as responsible, mature adults, which we can. The knowledge is there. The people with that knowledge are here. So we have all the chances of going that way, or we destroy everything. Everything we built up through hundreds of years. Ourselves, our families. Kill, kill, kill. Until most of us die. And Mother Nature and her peaceful children will remain. Maybe taking a sigh of relief. Oof. Now it feels better. Maybe that's what some people even want. Let's kill off all the others, the bad ones, our enemies. And of course, since God is on our side, we will survive. We are protected by God. Yeah. That's easy to say. If you want to expect to be protected by God, then you better live a godly life. Be kind to your fellow humans and your others who live here. Not expecting God to kill all the others because you don't like them or because that's good for you. Anyway.